This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given, filling in for Bill Littlefield. So everything's big in the Olympics, right? From 6'4" Michael Phelps and his 28 medals to the height of Simone Biles' tumbling passes. They're all big. Except this is the story about the little guys. Guys like Brian Gleason, vice president of a supplement company called Provenex.
We're a small company, still fairly new, about 2.5, 3 years old.
So you can understand why, when 5 athletes sponsored by Provenex qualified for Rio, Gleason was pretty excited.
I hadn't done anything in the Olympic space yet, so I was not aware of Rule 40, neither was our CEO.
But back in June, Gleason and his CEO were at a beach volleyball tournament in New York when an agent sat them down and explained the bad news.
We were kind of like, whoa, wait, what? You know, we had all these grand plans.
So what is this grand plan destroying Rule 40?
Yeah, so Rule 40 is the IOC rule where brands that are not official sponsors, you're not allowed to use any of the Olympic trademark words or phrases. You can't say Olympic. You can't say Olympian. You can't say, Road to Rio.
Also, medals, games, performance, victory, and summer. Yes, the IOC has banned any commercial entity, not one of its 11 official sponsors, from mentioning summer during the Olympic blackout period, from a few days before the games until a few days after the closing ceremonies. Mention any of the words in ads or on social media, and you just might receive a cease and desist letter from the USOC.
I mean, it's pretty extensive. I was kind of surprised. We're not even allowed to, for instance, like retweet a tweet from Team USA.
After the initial shock wore off, Gleason and his team sat down and tried to figure out ways to let people know about their 5 athletes in Rio without mentioning their 5 athletes in Rio.
You know, we sent out a tweet that was, wishing best of luck to unnamed volleyball player who will be playing at 1 p.m. in Brazil. Go get him, unnamed athlete.
This is pretty common. Ad executives at Ford reportedly brainstormed words they could use that weren't banned. They came up with fit, active, and strong. It hasn't always been like this. The rules used to be a lot more relaxed. And then this happened.
A call has gone forth from Olympic Stadium for the man who would be king.
Michael Johnson was the it athlete of the 1996 games in Atlanta.
For the man who would dare challenge Mercury, golden wings on his feet.
Johnson was signed by Nike, but Reebok was the official sponsor. So Nike came up with a plan centered around a pair of $30,000 racing spikes. NBC ate it all up, cutting from the obligatory Michael Johnson fluff piece to a live shot of those shoes at the starting line of the 400-meter final.
Wearing shoes of gold, the man who would be king, Michael Johnson, Waco, Texas.
So Michael Johnson in the golden shoes created the rules that we have today. It really kind of changed the face of Olympic marketing at that point.
That's Joe Favorito, sports marketing consultant and professor at Columbia University.
Bright, bright shoes. Not only that, there was an entire kind of guerrilla marketing plan that was built around it to drive attention to what they were doing without ever saying that Michael Johnson was participating in the Olympics and they were an Olympic sponsor.
Nike also gave fans free Nike flags that they could wave around for the cameras. Favorito says he thought the campaign was brilliant. The IOC didn't agree, and neither did Reebok, the company that had paid for the official sponsorship.
And now what I think you see is the IOC and the USOC taking even more steps to make sure that people really can't do the kind of guerrilla things that you could do before.
But where does that leave the little guys, the ones who can't afford the $150 to $200 million it takes to be an official Olympic sponsor?
The problem I have is it's where they drew the line. It just, to not be able to talk about the games or use the word summer in a post, I mean, It's too much.
That's Michael Kaplan, and he's the co-owner of a carpet cleaning company in Minneapolis.
We're a lifestyle company, and our social presence is all about community and current events and, of course, carpet cleaning.
So when something cool is going on at the local arts center, Kaplan's company tweets about it. When people are debating which is the best burger in town, his company weighs in. And Kaplan thought the same would be true come the Olympics.
We weren't going to have a gold medal carpet cleaning special. We just thought it's part of what people are talking about. People are obsessed about it, and for good reason. And we had an expectation that we would be part of that conversation at a very local level.
Kaplan doesn't have a lot of followers on Twitter. At last check, he had 269.
I would say that we are big for the carpet cleaning world, but we're just a tiny little thing in the sea of commerce.
But whether a company has 200 Twitter followers or 2 million, the rules are the rules.
We wouldn't even be able to congratulate any of the 11 Minnesotans in the games. To me, that really hit a nerve. It felt yucky, to use a very grown-up word. It felt yucky.
Why not just do what everyone else does and kind of skirt the rules and make do?
We got a bug up our butt. We got frustrated, and it would have been easy to sit on the sidelines, but we really felt that it's just wrong. It feels so contrary to what the Olympics are about. I'm not the guy who watches every event, but I love it. I mean, it's a chance to escape and kind of remember our humanity. It's a chance to get away from the political conversations and the conversations about ISIS and terrorism. And there's so much going on in the world today, it's easy to be cynical. I was sick of being cynical. It seemed like an opportunity to step up and try and do the right thing.
So Kaplan sued, saying his company's First Amendment rights had been trampled. He says he's not looking for a paycheck. He's not claiming that his company's profits have been damaged in any way. He just wants a court of law to offer clarification on whether the IOC and USOC really can keep him from tweeting the word summer during 3 weeks of the summer. And yes, he knows that his company is very, very small, and the people he's up against are very, very big.
Fortunately, it's not about how many attorneys you have on your team. I'm sure that they have many, many, many. We have smart people, and we think that the law's on our side. People who are law professors and state senators and people in the legal world, I'm not going to say that every voice has said, yeah, this makes sense, but overwhelmingly, what I've seen is that people really believe that this is an overreach by the USOC and that it's a big deal. It's bigger than us. Yeah, we're tiny relative to the USOC, this monster body, but I don't think in this type of circumstance that really matters.
Kaplan says his lawyers and the USOC are currently sparring over technicalities. He's not sure if that's a delaying tactic or just how these things work. And he knows that his lawsuit came too late for Rio 2016. But Pyeongchang 2018 is just around the corner, and winter is on the list of banned words.